continuation of the Holy Gospel according to Luke. At that time, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Hail, O favored one, the Lord is with you." The saving words of the gospel. This is a lovely feast to fall in the time of Advent, and it gives us a beautiful, gives the whole season this beautiful Marian flavor, savory, beautiful, wonderful Marian flavor for the whole time. You know, the when we say Immaculate Conception, of course you've already heard so much of this. It's really almost a cliche to bring it up, but I think it's worth at least mentioning in passing. There are a lot of people who believe that when they talk about Immaculate Conception, that means the way in which Mary conceived our Lord. Of course, it means the way in which Mary was conceived by her mother Anna. But and you know, then here comes Holy Church with this reading from the Gospel of Luke about how Mary conceives the Lord. So you can kind of get an idea of, you know, maybe why some people have a little bit of confusion about it. It almost seems like the church is throwing you a curve here. But no, you know, the fact is that it just aren't so many readings involving Mary in the New Testament to select from. And if we have to aim at a pivotal point, I think we have to aim at this one. Because to bring it down into a nutshell, really, really dense nutshell. If Eve was created without sin, then it makes sense that the new Eve be created without sin. That's the point. That's it boiled down into its essence. Now, you know, the teaching of the Immaculate Conception is not explicitly going to be found in Scripture. And so, but nevertheless, the reading that we have here today from First Luke is a foundation for the doctrine, because it's precisely in view of this moment, along with the fall of Eve in the garden, and the death and resurrection of our Lord in the future, that Mary was given the singular grace of protection from original sin, any stain of original sin. And so when Gabriel comes to her and says, "Hail," and the RSV that I used here today said, "O favored one," yeah, "the Lord is with thee," Gabriel knows, to put it one way, Gabriel knows more than his prayers. He knows what's going on with this. And so the Greek term that we have in here is it has to be cracked open in order to get this right. And it is tough to translate just because of the way that Greek tenses don't always go into English very smoothly without some kind of circumlocution. So here comes Gabriel, who knows more than his prayers, and he says, "Kairo karikatomene," hail, and which means that what follows is a title. Notice he doesn't come right in and say Mary. He gives her a title, and a title is an important thing that one has to kind of reflect on. And so she's going to reflect on this. You know, what does this mean? And it can mean various things, like, you know, favored one, or, you know, Jerome puts it, gratia plena, one who is full of grace. And, but what the key here is that it is it's a participle, meaning graced one, but it's a perfect participle. Now, perfect participles in Greek indicate completion of something, but the state of the completion remains even in the present. It's not like there was a completion in the past, and it's no longer, you know, the state of affairs anymore. No, this Greek participle here means that whatever it was the grace was perfected, finished, completed, brought to a completion, and that state continues even now. And that's what's going on in that long participle, kikari tomene. And so when Jerome says full of grace, it's a really good, it's really a very good translation of it. Then the angel, who knows more than his prayers, goes on to say, the Lord is with you, and this is in view of course, the mission, and, you know, blessed are you. This is a continuing state. And so what the angel's greeting to Mary does serve as a really very good foundation for this. Then, now, I mention a lot of times that Jewish feasts will look in two different directions. They'll look back to the event that they commemorate, but they look forward to an as of yet unfulfilled mystery. And so we also, in order to understand the foundation of this doctrine, we have to go back to this, to the concept of the proto, what's called the proto-evangelium in the book of Genesis, a foreshadowing of the good news that we are hearing right now, Hail Mary, full of grace. And where God says, I'm going to put enmity between you, the serpent, and the woman, between your seed, the serpent's seed, and her seed, the woman's seed. And then it says in the Hebrew, the word that's used in Hebrew to describe he or she shall strike, he, the serpent, will strike your, how does that go? He shall strike your head, but you shall strike his heel. Now there is some, there's some debate in actually taking a look to see if it says she will strike your head and you will strike her heel, or he will strike your head and you will strike his heel. Jerome goes one way and a way. That becomes, of course, a theological locus, because this is what the church has been praying all down through the centuries. And so this is our theological starting point for us. That this is has to do with Mary. By the way, that there's a wonder. This is the verb used in Hebrew for strike, like to strike at, to bite at, or to attack, is shuf, which is kind of onomatopoetic. You know, it kind of sounds like a, you know, shuf. You know, anyway. This is all the Jewish interpretations of this, the midrashes that are given to try to interpret this, have to do with the coming of, that this is all given, this is all prophesied in view of a Messiah who would come, who would defeat the serpent, who would defeat Satan. And from the very beginning of the church's origins, her greatest theological writers, the fathers of the church and whatnot, have always seen this to be done through the agency of Mary, that it was necessary that if death entered through into the world, like St. Cyril of Jerusalem talks about how if death entered into the world through a virgin, then it was necessary that life should enter in through a virgin. Jerome says if death came through Eve, then life has to come through Mary, who is the new Eve. And so I, and then the whole issue of being free from sin, fathers of the church, such as Augustine, is very clear that everyone born into the world has been conceived in original sin, except for Mary. And it's very clear about this. And so I come around back to the nutshell that I gave you at the very beginning. If Eve was created without sin, then the new Eve, who is the spouse of the new Adam, also has to be created without sin. And so we celebrate the feast of the Immaculate Conception. The patroness of this nation that needs so much intercession from heaven right now. It's almost as if we are careening on a path of destruction. And what mother, what mother must will hold herself back if her children who are endangered cry out to her for help. So let's, with confidence and with urgency, invoke our mother to put her protective mantle over our nation, especially those who are in positions of authority, elected officials, to guide them either on a path, a thorny and difficult upward path, hard to climb, with many worldly dangers on either side, or to guide those who are locked in darkness but on a smooth path back into the way of orthodoxy, sanity, and sanctity. Credo in un Deum, Patrem omnipotente, Factorum Caeli et Terrae, visibilium omnibus et invisibilium, et in unum Domino Iesum Christum, Filium Dei unigenitum, et ex Patri natum ad omnia saecula, Deum de Deo, Lumen de Lumine, Deum vero de Deo vero, genitum non factum, quod substantiale in Patri fecerim omnia factus sunt, qui propter nos homines et propter nostrum salutem descendit de caelis, et incarnatus est, et Spiritus Sancto ex Maria Virgine, et homo factus est. Which in Ixus et semper nobis, sub Pontio Pilato, passus et sepultus est. Et resurrexit tertia die secundum scripturas, et ascendit in cielo, sedet ad dexter Patris, et iterum venturus est cum gloria judicare vivos et mortuos, quis remi non erit vivis, et in Spiritum Sanctum Domino et fecit hic antem, quis Patri filioque procedit, qui cum Patri et Filio simulat ad natura cum glorificatur, vino cujus est per profetas, et unam sanctam catholicam et apostolicam ecclesiam, confidere una baptisma in remissione peccatorum, et expecto resurrectionem mortuorum, et vitam venturi saeculi. Amen. Dominus obiscum. Oremus. Ave Maria, gratia plena Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus. Alleluia.